Well, happy December. It's December 1st. And so I guess it's official now. Merry Christmas. And this also begins Advent. And so this first day of Advent as well. Advent just means coming. And it's like preparation for the celebration. What celebration? Well, if you've been around here long, we kind of define Christmas this way. Christmas is the celebration of the entrance of our Savior into the world. If you know it, say it with me. Christmas is the celebration of the entrance of our Savior into the world. Now, our team has done just a fabulous job of decorating and very intentional there right in the middle. Yeah, they did a great job. And right in the middle, we've got the manger and the cross, and that's very purposeful because Christmas is the celebration of the entrance of our Savior. Now listen, Christmas makes no sense without Easter. And that's why we come up with so many silly things around Christmas. And we have to hold that at the core of who we are, what this is about. It's the entrance of our Savior. And Easter, you know, is the exclamation mark, you know, on all of that. Now, we're starting a series actually today called Peace on Earth. But Thanksgiving was so late in November. I always thought it was on a certain date. It's not. I don't know who does this. I don't know who's in charge of this. And they move around these holidays, and it's when the sun looks this way and the third, and Jupiter is in its third whatever, and I don't know. You know, all of those things, and that's how they come up with Easter, and that's how they come up with, I don't know who does it, how they do that. But because Thanksgiving was so late this year, Christmas season is compressed, and we kind of feel that. But this is, I kind of pushed back on what we had planned to start in the series Peace on Earth, because we just finished a series on kindness. How many of you are more kind than you used to be? I hope you are. So, it's fine. So, we finished kindness, and then we had Thanksgiving, and now we're to start Christmas, and we didn't really get to talk about one of the most important aspects, I think, of who we are, and that's gratitude and Thanksgiving, not just the meal, not just the day, but the lifestyle and kind of the attitude and the condition that we would have, that we would be people of gratitude. So I want to talk to you today about giving thanks. And we've got to get a hold of this, or you're really not even going to enjoy the season and you're going to miss the peace on earth. So let's start out. Psalm 92, verse 1. It says, it is good to what? To give thanks. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And then Psalm 106, verse 1 says, praise the Lord, O, come on. Give thanks to the Lord, for or because he is good, his mercy endures forever. I love that verse. Praise the Lord, exclamation mark. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for or because he is good. He is good. So, exhibit A of his goodness is his mercy, and his mercy endures forever. Now, we're to give thanks, refer to the verse again, we're to give thanks when we feel good. Huh? Yeah, you should. If you feel good, you should give thanks, right? Because guess what? You don't always feel good. So when you feel good, yeah, you should thank the Lord for that. Give thanks because everything's going good? Yeah, absolutely. Because that doesn't last either. But this verse says give thanks because what? Because he is good. And that's always. But God is calling us to be grateful in our lives and certainly grateful to him because, here's a reason, because he is good. And he's not just good, he extends his goodness. He is good to us. Everybody say, he is good to me. Now, and again, his mercy endures forever. That's again, exhibit A. That's the biggest evidence. Anybody here glad for his mercy? I mean, his mercy, his forgiveness, his kindness, his patience. I mean, my goodness, give thanks to the Lord because he is good. How is he good? His mercy endures forever, just as one thing. Now, Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would... Y'all, I'm putting more into this than you are. All right, we'll try it again. Oh, that men would... There you go. Give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, for his wonderful works. He is good to us. Now, I purposely had you repeat, give thanks, give thanks. Say it one more time, give thanks. Now, this is in the Psalms. We read Psalm 92, 106, 107. There's plenty more, but... This phrase, give thanks, is one word in that Old Testament Hebrew. So the Old Testament written in Hebrew, and this one word, you don't have to remember this, but it's kind of fun to remember, for give thanks is Y-A-D-A-H, and it's pronounced yada, yada. Go ahead and say it. Yada. And yada is give thanks. But it has some other meaning and richness to us. Our English language is pretty much limited. And the Hebrew and the Greek that the Bible's written into is just unreal. So we've got to use a lot of words to describe what this would say. And so this give thanks is 100 times in the Old Testament, and it's used 66 times in just the Psalms. And it means this. It means to profess, confess, or give thanks. So first of all, it is verbal. It is verbal that we give thanks to the Lord. Also, it's verbal because you become aware of something, you acknowledge something. So it's also mental or cognitive. So to give thanks to the Lord is verbal because I'm aware of something, mental or cognitive. And then here's where I really want to get here. It also means this, to show, to point out, and to shoot out the hands extended. To show, to point out, to shoot out the hands extended. Did you know that when you do this and your heart's connected to it, you're saying, I thank you. Not to each other. That's kind of weird. But to God. We raise our hands a lot in here. But I hope it's never just, here we go. This means to point out, to shoot out, to shoot out the hands extended because you are grateful in your heart. I think we need to have yada practice. Okay? So go ahead and get... All right, you ready? Ready? Now look at that. Look across. Isn't that beautiful? Now, what does our Father see? What does our Heavenly Father see? If your heart's connected, he sees you saying, thank you, thank you. Now, we've got 7 grandbabies now, and I say grandbabies, a couple of them are teens, but how'd this happen? I don't even know. But to see them, to interact with them, or to FaceTime with them, if they indicate anything like, I see you, I know you, I love you, I want you, I mean, that does something to you. Are you hearing me? And so, what about our Heavenly Father, who is so good to us? We've already established that. What about that we not just say to him, you know, verbal, not just acknowledge, mental, but also signify outwardly? Thank you. Come on, let's yada one more time. You know, and when your heart is connected to that, you are literally saying, thank you. You're giving thanks to the Lord. I even do this in my car sometimes. But one-handed. And sometimes, you know, traffic get a little close to you. You just act like you're adjusting your mirror or something. So give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord. And so, you know, when we come to church, we don't have a song service here. It's a time to praise and thank God. And there's so many times during, you know, there's a lot of ways to praise the Lord. There really are, and to worship the Lord. But the best group activity is singing together, worshiping together. And I want to encourage you throughout your day, when you're here in service. I mean, you don't have to the whole time, but put your hands down so people can see behind you. But you know, make sure that we are thankful to the Lord. And I love that it is so rich in our relationship with God that we actually can say to the Lord, thank you. Thank you. Amen? Amen. All right, let's roll on this. Now, giving thanks because he is good. Giving thanks because he is good to you. And are you ready for this? Giving thanks because giving thanks is good for you. It's good for you. The Bible actually commands us to praise and thank him. It commands us. Not because God is insecure or he's self-absorbed or a narcissist or whatever. It's not that at all. He is worthy of our thanks and praise. He is worthy of that. But he wants us to do this because it also benefits us. Now, you know these principles. I'll put them up for you again, though. Anything the Bible tells you to do is for your good. Read that with me. Anything the Bible tells you to do is for your good. Secondly, anything the Bible tells you to not do is bad for you. So let's read all those together. Anything the Bible tells you to do is good for you. Anything the Bible tells you to not do is bad for you. Anything he tells you to do, it's good for you because it brings life. Anything he tells you don't do that, he tells you that because it takes life away. Guess what then? Anything the Lord would tell you to do or not to do is because he loves you. And so when he commands us, it's for our good. When he commands us, I want you to thank me, I want you to praise me, it is for our good. Now, a little bit of research here, several different sources. Consistent gratitude. And we're to thank God. Who else are we to thank? We're to thank God. Who else are we to thank? People around you. Anybody ever do anything for you? Do y'all live by yourself? You're to thank people around you for things. You know, interacting, you are to be consistently grateful. And when you've got gratitude as a condition, as an attitude within you, here's some of the benefits of this from research. Better sleep, better health, less anxiety, more easily satisfied, more optimistic, more efficient in your efforts, greater sense of well-being, more helpful to others, kinder disposition, improved mood, increased energy, and your brain works better. And what happens in your brain when you're grateful, it helps to calm the limbic system, the deep limbic areas, and other judgment centers of your brain, which regulate your emotions, your behaviors, your memory, your thoughts, your motivations. It is good for you. It is good for you to give thanks to the Lord. Y'all hear me? It is good for you to give thanks to the Lord. Not just walk through life, you know, and well, whatever. No, we need to intentionally, consistently give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to other people. It is good for you, and the Lord commanded us to be that kind of people. Truly, and we'll bring this up for you, truly, gratitude is the secret sauce of the happy, healthy Christian life. Read that with me. Gratitude is the secret sauce of the happy, healthy Christian life. Can we get an amen on that? Amen. Now, this past year has had many challenges. How many of you have had some challenges in 2024? I guess it was all first service. Come on, y'all. How many of you have gone through some? All right, yeah. And it's probably everyone here, honestly. Political issues, hurricanes, the economy, wars, accidents, sickness, deaths, family problems, pressure, pace of this life, on and on we could go. You've got micro problems and challenges, that's personal. You've got macro, that's, you know, in general, that's like everybody. Studies show that, and we worry about these things, we get concerned about these things. Studies show that 40% of what you worry about never happens. 30% is concerned about the past. Now listen, to worry about the past changes nothing. And to worry about the future just makes you anxious. You cannot control the future by worrying. All it can do is mess up today. 70% of worries are worthless. 12% are needless health concerns. Come on, how many of you have looked up something on WebMD? I get something with my gizzard. You don't have a gizzard. That's the problem. It's like the hypochondriac had on his tombstone, "I told you I was sick." 10% of our worries and concerns are insignificant and petty. Only 8% of what we worry about are actual legitimate concerns. So life is two things. I like to put things pretty simple. Life is two things. Life is what you can control, and life is what you cannot control. So what I can control, what you can control, then do what you can. What you cannot control, trust God. Okay? And I think this is worth rolling back over again. Think it through in your life, the things that you can control. If there's something you can control, then do what you can in that situation. If it's something you cannot control, what am I going to do about it? Worry? Get upset? No. I'm going to trust God. Put it in God's hands. And God will help you, the things you can control, to take care of those things. God will also take those things that you trust Him with. One of the devotionals that I read is called Jesus Always. Same author as Jesus Calling, Sarah Young. And it's written in, I think this is third person here, where it's as if Jesus is speaking to you. As if the Lord is speaking to you. And it's very scriptural. And then at the bottom of the page are all the scriptures that are kind of working off there. A couple weeks ago, this was in one of the devotions. And it says, if the Lord is speaking to you, and He says this, tell me your troubles, seek my guidance, change the subject. I love that. Come on, read it with me. Tell me your troubles, seek my guidance, change the subject. Now, we must all become skilled at sorting. We're always sorting things in life anyway. Eggs get sorted. How many of you, I never buy the small eggs or regular eggs. I always get extra large eggs. Come on, anybody with me? I mean, if you're going to do it, let's do this. Don't give me a little canary egg here. Eggs. Are y'all with me on this? Come on now. Get your money's worth. But those get sorted. I looked at some YouTube even yesterday of the machines and so forth and some of the history, how they'd sort eggs on color or size or that kind of thing. You sort your mail. You know, the mail comes. How many of you are usually disappointed? You know, and now we're getting a lot of catalogs and stuff, but you sort out, here's a bill, here's junk mail, here's correspondence. Ooh, I do want to see this. And then we sort our laundry. You know, I help with laundry. And so you sort that out. You get your whites and your darks and colors and different fabrics maybe. And then stuff that's really, really soiled or dirty, you know. And so you want to sort all that out. Well, in life, we have to sort things out. And whether you know it or not, you're doing it. But you've got to sort things through in the right way. And so it's what you're choosing to give focus to. It's what you're choosing to give your energy to and spend your words on. Because I have to caution you that naturally we tend to navigate toward the negative. We tend to navigate toward the broken and the bad and the negative. And we have to be careful of that because we can form what is called a negativity bias. And when you have a negativity bias, you see virtually everything as negative. You're going to see the downside on this. You're going to expect negative things to happen to you. And here's the other thing, and you hardly notice when good comes. You know, and so just driving down the road, you're going to point out what's wrong, what's broken. I don't like that. I don't like that. You've got to be careful of that. You need to sort differently and say, look at that. That's awesome. That's beautiful. Look, they're trying hard on that. Yeah, and you need to shift all of that in our lives. Sometimes, you know, people are that way in our lives, that they're always going to find what we did wrong, or you didn't get that completely done right, or whatever. That'll wear you out. You know, it just does you good for somebody to say, that was awesome, and not continue with, but. And so we live in this kind of negative toned world, and we have to be careful how we sort things out, because if you go negative, here's what's going to happen. Your gratitude levels are going to be low. And when your gratitude levels are low, guess what? Your disposition, your concentration, your mood, your sleep, your health, your everything is going to be off, because it is good for you to give thanks to the Lord. And so as we go through life, look for the good. Are y'all hearing me? Look for the good in your children, in people, and everything else. I'm not saying ignore, hey, you come back and fix that. There's a right way to do all of this. But in life, just when you go outside, you know, don't be a complainer. Don't be looking for the bad. Well, it's probably going to rain, and then it's probably going to this. The eggs are too small. And we just go through life in this way. Your gratitude level is going to end up really low. Here's a quote by Henry Beecher. He was a minister about 100 years ago. He said, "The unthankful heart discovers no mercies, but the thankful heart will find in every hour some heavenly blessing." Isn't that beautiful? Let me put it to you this way. You are way more blessed than you are bothered. Come on, how many of you would admit, I'm way more blessed than I'm bothered? What do we tend to do, though? Talk about all the stuff that bothers us. All the things that are broken or messed up or missing and that kind of thing. And you are way more blessed than you are bothered. Cares block thanks. Thanks lifts cares. Active gratitude lifts us. Complaining presses us down and holds us back. Comparing causes discontent. And ignoring the blessings and the good that is around us is just kind of rude and careless. We must give thanks. Come on, say it with me. Give. Oh, come on, let's yada one time here. All right, all right. Give thanks to the Lord. And we do, again, we do this to the Lord. You just tell people, because again, this would be really weird, you know, toward people, but to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Let me shift gears just a bit here. Psalm 42, verse 3, David said, "My enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? Where is this God of yours?" And we all go through times and things that maybe some of the people around us, really? It pays to follow God? It pays to serve God? I mean, look what you're going through. Is God even with you going through this, you know? And then sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we're going through something and we might wonder that inside of ourselves. God, where are you? Are you with me? And I want to promise you, the enemy of your soul certainly wants you to feel and doubt if God is with you. You know, he's constantly going to do that. But this is what happens. When you are grateful, when you are actively grateful, when you're looking for things to thank God for, you're going to see God. Did you hear me? You're going to see God. You're going to see that he's working, that he's helping you. I mean, how many of you have been through a tough time before? You didn't understand that tough time. Maybe you still don't. But now in retrospect, you realize, you know what? God was with me. God helped me, and I learned this, and I got that, and I gained this. And God is with you. And when you are actively grateful, when you look at things, you're going to see that God truly is present. There he is. Here's God. And that's the message of Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. Gratitude, giving of thanks, keeps you aware of God's active presence and goodness in your life. And that's going to cause gratitude. That's going to lift your life. Give thanks to the Lord, because when you thank the Lord, you're going to be able to see God is present in my life. God is active in my life. Well, what do we thank him for? And you know what? You might think this is overboard, but I think you should start with everything. I think you should start with little things. This morning, actively, I was thanking God for running water. We've got some dear friends, and can I tell you, they're pretty well-to-do. He's a career doctor, and they got hit by a hurricane, and they just got running water again. They're down in the Bay Area. And our friend was going through the house and just showing the condition of their house. The drywall's gone, furniture's gone, they're sitting in lawn chairs, and somehow they're grateful. They're grateful. So what do we thank God for? Well, I thanked him this morning for running water. I thanked him for running hot water this morning. I was thankful that I woke up in shelter, in a warm, comfortable, cozy house. I'm thankful for my wife, for my family. I'm thankful I didn't have to walk here. I'm thankful I had a choice of clothes to wear. I'm thankful that I already got to eat some. And I'm thankful I'm going to eat some more. And on it, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for our country. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for his mercies that are new this morning. Without his mercies, we're consumed. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit never leaves us, never forsakes us. And I want to tell you something. I want to end with this today. Whatever you're going through, you're going to make it. I saw something differently in Scripture this week. In Acts 27, and I'll just abbreviate the story and get to the point, but the Apostle Paul is a prisoner of Rome. He's being shipped literally to Rome. They go through 14 days of an unbelievably violent storm, and then they decide, we're just going to have to run this thing aground. We've just got to get out of this somehow. Storm. They ran it aground. It busted up the ship. And there were 276 people on board. Earlier in that account, the Apostle Paul told them all during the storm, he said, hey, everybody relax. Because an angel of the Lord stood by me this day and said, we're all going to make it safe. And so they run that ship aground. And then the Bible said this, and this I saw this kind of for the first time this week. It said some swam to shore. It said others floated on a plank. And others floated to shore on broken debris from a broken ship. But they all made it. 276 of them made it. You know, and sometimes maybe the storm that you would have in life, you can swim to shore. Still going to be some effort. Maybe some of you floating on a plank. Some of you, I don't know, you got part of a broken something out of somewhere. And you feel like, am I going to make it? You're going to make it. You're going to make it. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm so thankful for that. He said, I'll be with you always. And you go through this, I'll be with you right there. And he's not there just observing. He's there showing his goodness and showing his help for you. I just want to end today by letting you know you're going to make it. You're going to make it. And that's something to certainly be thankful for. Amen. Did y'all get anything at all out of this today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.